So James and I were taking a drive to look at a prospective business that he might work at.
Sure you were.
And we got behind this car, and it had a bunch of bumper stickers, including the "Don't Tread on Me" thing.
Yeah, and did you right? pull him out of this car and walk all over him?
No. I was just laughing because I was looking at this one thing. Mm-hmm. And James looks at me and he goes, "What is it?" And I said, "It says tranny." And he goes, "What?" And I said, "Right there on the right-hand bumper sticker." I thought it was like, that's what they were talking about, transmissions. I definitely didn't think they were making fun of transvestites.
Oh, right.
But I kept looking at it, and then all of a sudden he looks at me and he kind of face palms and gives me an eye, and he goes, "That says tyranny."
No, it doesn't. It says, back in my day, that's tranny. I have good vision.
You don't know how terrible I felt. You don't know. I kept driving, and I was just like, oh, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, it's called getting older, Grandpa.
I could read it perfectly. I just, my mind said tranny, and I was like, that's really offensive.
Are there other words that you see that you misinterpret every time you first see them?
I don't know, but there are always words that I try to spell that I, no matter what, I always spell them wrong. Like awful.
Off? Wait, you spell awful wrong?
I always spell it AWEFUL.
Awful. No. It's full of awe.
Well, yeah. No, or is that the correct spelling and I spell it the other way? I can't remember.
No, awful is spelled AWFUL.
All right, how about necessarily?
Come fuck me. I don't know. N-E-C-C.
Exactly, see.
A-S-A-R-I-L-Y.
Probably
fuck
not.
English. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but there are words like that I'm constantly like, here it comes, I gotta spell it wrong and then have the computer correct it for me.
How about hyperbole?
You spell it hyperbole.
Yeah,
with an E,
hyperbole. It's easier to remember.
Yeah.
How about irregardless?
I'm over it.
Are
really
you good
anymore.
For you? See? You
it,
can get
I don't
over
care.
It.
It's still going to... If I hear it in polite conversation, like around people who actually have like legitimate degrees and they're, you know, they have like a... They own a house and a car and they're like, well, irregardless, I'm going to be like, how did you mature to this age?
I mean, most people assume... People assume that it's a word.
Even if it is in the dictionary, you should know. You should know that that is an improper word.
If it's in the dictionary, it's a word.
I kind of, well, is ain't in the dictionary?
Yes.
No, it is not.
It is.
Not that I know of.
It is.
I even looked it up.
People have used it enough. It's once you word, whatever, you, that's how English, that's how language works.
Yeah, well, you know what word is in the dictionary?
What?
Jiggy.
What does it mean?
It was a term coined by Will Smith.
Yes, but what does jiggy mean?
I don't know. I've never looked it up. I'm never going to use it.
What does it mean, get jiggy with it?
I'm too white. I'm not allowed, I think.
Does it say in the in the dictionary, you look up jiggy? I guess it's a verb.
Hold on.
Used in a sentence. Na 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 na.
Jiggy, definition.
Mm-hmm.
Uninhibited, especially in a sexual manner. To get jiggy with Leonardo? What? The
what?
Script required her to get jiggy with Leonardo.
Okay.
Trembling or nervous, especially as a result of drug withdrawal.
Ooh, that's dark.
Oh, actually it has an earlier usage than that. It's from the 1930s.
Yeah, he didn't make up the word.
No, but I'm thinking that the first number one definition now, uninhibited, especially in a sexual manner, is mm-hmm. the definition of the word that is resulted from his use of it.
Right. Words are stupid and strange anyway. They're just weird and strange. Any
do you
word...
Get, you want to get the podcasters repeating one word over and over and over again till it has no meaning?
Well, that's any word.
Do you ever
word.
Do that in kindergarten?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever written a common word down and looked at it and went, that has to be wrong because it looks so wrong? Like, just the other day, I wrote the word... When I make my thumbnails, mm-hmm. for some reason, when I type the thumbnails out in the font that I'm using, the word looks wrong, even though I know that that's how the word is spelled.
You mean like inanimate?
No, more like, fuck you, more like look.
I don't know why you keep that in there.
Because I like it. It's funny. Stop mentioning things in the podcasting. People don't have any idea what we're talking about.
If they don't watch your channel, they're wrong.
Lots of people are wrong then.
Watch Jason's channel.
Uh-uh, don't. I'm about to burn it down, so don't watch it. I'm going podcast full time, everybody.
You better mail me a puppet.
This is a test to see how many people from my YouTube channel actually listen to the podcast.
We'll see. I'm never uploading again.
If they go running to the comment section in YouTube and they're like,
after my book is published and I post a video about that it's published, I'm never uploading again.
That's not true. You'll upload something.
No. I don't like YouTube anymore.
At all, for anything?
Well, to watch videos. Like, if I want to watch Vsauce, I have to go there. If I want to watch, you know, Kirzagast, I have to watch it.
Well, you know, the whole thing has changed. It's very obvious that it's no longer for grown-up people. It doesn't feel like it's for grown-up people anymore. You know, it's kind of like, oh, this thing that I thought was going to be awesome has turned into just...
a bucket of diarrhea?
It's just, yeah.
Well, anyway, I thought we were never going to talk about YouTube, but...
Well, fuck it. I mean, come on. We've done 160 shows. We never talk about YouTube. You know what? Fuck it. Let's go. We're going to talk about YouTube.
The opening about YouTube.
No, we're doing the whole goddamn YouTube show. We're doing the whole show. You're going to tell a YouTube story. I'm going to tell a YouTube story. We're going to do it in 30 minutes. We were going to read a listener story, but we're not doing it. We've hinted at our YouTube careers for 160 episodes, and I've always slammed my foot down. Not this time. You and me are going
to
tell.
You know what? We'll do the opener for 20 minutes because we've done that before, and then we have to read a listener story.
No, we don't. We can do whatever we want.
Before we do that, do you want me to hear the? You want me to read the results of the Twitter poll that you refused to?
Twit poll, da 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 da. Twit poll. The thing we keep forgetting.
No, it's not. It's not so much that, but you were. I don't know. Sad last week.
I was tired. I wasn't sad. I was tired.
I have to scroll down quite a bit.
People
actually
thought it was cute that I fell asleep.
I did. I
was like a little num num baby.
Did you listen to my reaction when you read? When you
yes,
when
I re-listened to it, and I could hear the moment where I fell asleep because you can hear me going. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm asleep right there.
All right. So the question from 2 weeks ago, podcast poll, if you owned a robot, what would it be for you?
All right.
Sexbot, housekeeper,
friend, do me hard,
nursebot. And the overwhelming majority of 9 votes was housekeeper.
Really?
Yeah.
Housekeeper bot? That's
maybe, what you know, maybe the maybe this generation doesn't want to just get rid of sex altogether.
Maybe our audience isn't composed of a bunch of pervos. Pervos for servos.
No, it would technically be my audience on Twitter, not the audience.
Okay, well, maybe your audience doesn't dig sex with, you know, they're not mechanosexuals. That's going to be a thing eventually. I don't know if that's what it's going to be called. Robosexuals?
Yeah, I mean, if I had access to a robot, I'd probably, you know.
You'd make the moves on it.
I wouldn't have to make moves. I'd just be like, lay back.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying that as if it's a person with feelings and...
What if it's a robot with feelings?
And it's an AI? I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't try and have sex with it at all.
Why, are you afraid you'd just confuse it?
No, I wouldn't do it because if it were an actual AI that we legitimately knew was a thing that sentiently was like a living thing.
Yeah.
No way. I wouldn't. No. Sex bots are for the purpose of sex, so that's the difference.
Okay, so you'd have sex with a sex bot.
Yes.
Okay.
With only an AI that is just there for sex. So there's no, you know, rapey feeling like you're doing something wrong.
You have lost that rapey feeling.
Speaking of rape,
oh my God.
I joined YouTube with the hopes of actually just being able to get a few things off my chest about my deconversion from Christianity.
Yeah.
That was the initial reason.
Uh-huh.
And I started, you know, do you know that after I uploaded my first 3 videos, I actually deleted my channel?
Did you really? Were you...
For about a week.
Were you scared?
Yes, because it almost immediately got attention from Wildwood Claire. Now, if anybody doesn't know who she is,
Wildwood Claire, I miss you so much.
Yeah. I made a video that was outside of the deconversions video called Snickerdoodles, Atticus Blake Goes to Church.
Yeah.
And it was my third video, I think. And I uploaded another deconversion video.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was because I have a cousin who liked to debate me about Christianity because he's a Christian and he had to get his way and he was trying to make me feel bad about uploading my story because it makes Christians sound bad. Mm-hmm. So my first
you don't
two
have
parts
to work hard.
Well, that's the thing. It makes Christians look bad because the first two stories that I uploaded were stories about how preachers had pretty much fucked with my sexuality, not sexually, but in a way that made me think I was a bad person. Mm-hmm. And his constant thing was, why don't you upload something about how they're nice? Duh! You know, and eventually I talked to a friend named Purple Fox, who is also another YouTuber who created an excellent deconversion story. He said, it's not your job to defend Christianity. If that's what happened, then that's what happened. Mm. So I began thinking about the stories, and there was this one particular part that I had written about a thing that happened at church where I really liked this boy, and his father was the preacher, and I thought the boy was, I don't know, not the word sexy, but I wanted to look...
open pants
and
take out
that
thing and make thing go all over
face. This isn't
face.
Let me finish yet.
Don't care. It's getting maudlin.
It isn't. I'm pretty sure I wanted to lick his belly button. Anyway. I don't know. That was just a thing that I wanted to do when I was younger.
Wait, how old were you?
Oh, 9.
So at 9, you were like, I can't wait. I'm going to, what do I do?
It's at this point that I remembered. I was like, no, wait a minute. That event happened at the lake, not at church. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize, I was like, oh, shit, no. That couldn't have been anywhere but at the lake. But it was at the church at the lake.
Yeah.
It was still the same kid, still the same, you know, preacher. Still the same thing that happened. It just happened somewhere else, and I was like, oh shit, I just lied to everybody.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was still feeling kind of guilty about it, and it was like extremely guilty. I don't know why. I was just lit up because I was like, oh god, I did something wrong, and all of these people are watching my videos and thinking I'm like this good writer and stuff, and I wrote something that was lies, all lies, and
everything is a lie.
I deleted my YouTube channel.
Please, baby Jesus, don't spank me.
No, that wasn't the reason.
Okay.
Anyway, I took a week and I talked to my counselor about it, and he said the same thing. He's like, that's neither here nor there. It's the same event. It just happened somewhere else. Like, why are you freaking out about this? Like, a lot of people have, I mean, you were 9 and now you're 30, 31,
yeah.
And you expect your memory to be perfect? Who cares?
Aww.
You know, he was like, it's not like you told them something that was untrue, like you did heroin at the lake and had sex with lots of, you know, guys or something.
Yeah.
You're not exaggerating. You just forgot that it happened somewhere else. So then I restarted my YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
And then thereafter, I started talking to Logic.
Mm-hmm.
So it rolled on from there, where I just kept meeting all these big YouTubers that kept giving me shout outs, and my channel just grew. And now, 4 years later, my channel has experienced no growth.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't love the people who watch my videos. That's great. I love that they still watch my videos. All 1,000 of them, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I was kind of hoping that this would fucking go somewhere, you know, better than it is. And it's like a person who's continually on a treadmill trying to lose weight, and no matter how much they starve themselves or eat right or whatever, they just can't lose any weight. And it's like, I've done all this fucking hard work and I still can't see my abs. Where are the abs, YouTube?
Anyway. You don't got the genes for the abs, dude. What do you want?
Well, I must not be special enough to be on YouTube the way I see a lot of other friends on it. That's pretty much what it says, Jason. Okay? If the algorithm that YouTube has put in place is cutting my videos out of everything, they're saying this is not good enough. That is what is being said.
No, it's just how can the world... Okay, number one, what do you think the number one writing metric is for YouTube?
What do you mean?
What do you think is the overall determining thing on YouTube that determines whether or not you're popular?
Money?
No, money doesn't drive it. I would say that it's probably one of the last places where someone with no money can go on and become popular. But there are things that people do. Video games. Things that trend to youth. They don't want someone talking about how they feel. They want, unless those feelings are profoundly negative. They want, conflict, right? That's one of the things that they really want. They want conflict. They want people fighting. That's the things that they like. They like people fighting for whatever reason.
Hashtag Keemstar.
Yeah. Hashtag whatever. And, you know, Keemstar or however you want to, however you want to, you know, put it. It's kind of like You have well-written, wonderfully done videos, right?
Oh, you mean they're not just JPEG slideshows?
No, they're also JPEG slideshows. But...
I did animations in the last two.
But your audience is extraordinarily narrow on YouTube.
I know.
If you were doing... That does not mean that what you're doing is not good or not popular. You have to remember that unless you are going to target an audience that is generally 14 years old, then you're going to have problems. Mm. It doesn't have anything to do with your talent level. It's just the people who are interested in what you have to say and how you're saying it aren't on YouTube. If they were, they're not there anymore.
Which
They've
is
all moved
why
on.
I'm switching over to a different medium.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always going to do the podcast. I'm sure I'm going to die doing this podcast.
I'm going to kill him.
Yeah. Yes, it'll be one day all of a sudden you'll be like, I figured out how to send shocks through the internet. Watch.
Watch, I can tesseract all the way over to your house. Watch. And then I accidentally bisect us both. What are
I'm
you drinking?
Over.
What is
I'm
in
drinking,
that mug?
I am drinking Yingling. I'm drinking.
He's got tea. Like a pizza pub
I've
pitcher
got a
full of.
I've got a Scotsman quantity of beer in a mug. But I'm switching over to a different medium for a reason.
Okay.
I think I do agree in a lot of the things that you said, but at the same time, I want to reach a different audience, and yeah. I want to be able. I've always, and I know I've always wanted to write books. I know that doesn't make money unless you're really good at it, but it's not about that. I've actually found, hey, that's that thing that I've always wanted to do, even if it didn't make money. Well, yet I was happy.
I don't know if I've said this on the. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but when I was doing theater in San Francisco, I very easily could have gone down to LA and pursued acting in LA and tried to become an actor in Los Angeles.
And I never would have met you.
That's the one thing. But the other thing is that everyone that I knew that was down in LA that was trying to make it, they were spending
was
most...
unhappy.
They
you
weren't
have,
happy.
You have said
they,
that on the podcast.
They weren't doing what they love to do. So what would I rather do? I'd rather do what I love to do, doing it making me happy and not necessarily making money at it, than trying desperately to make money at it and not being happy most of the time. And then people are like, well, so what? So you didn't risk anything? And I said, well, yeah, here's the risk that at 48, I can look back at having done a lot of really wonderful things and had a great time. Or I could be looking back at having been a waiter for 20 years
and never
worked.
That is how I see my life when I look at the book that I've written.
What?
I look at it and say, oh, look, I had all of this time where I wanted to do all this amazing shit. Jason knows still one of my dreams is to be a screenwriter and win an Academy Award,
mm-hmm.
right? Or a director, something like that. That's one of them, but I don't hold out hope for it at this point, but I was always dreaming of doing anything else but the thing that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wrote this book, I realized what I considered mundane was magic.
Yeah.
Everything that was happening was interesting. There isn't a moment of my life that I look at and go, I remember that. That was boring. It was, no, I remember that and that was fucking weird as fuck. I'm going to write a story about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it, I have all of these things that I think where I was just like this lowly person that was meaningless and had and was just not going anywhere, but I've done a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how I feel about, you know, that's how I feel about being creative, is that everyone wants to put this kind of premium on success by how much money you make at it, and rather than how much fun you've had doing it, you know. Mm. I can guarantee you that there are awful actors out in the world that have had a great time being in shows, that have had a lot more fun and feel more satisfied now than Oscar winners who have turned the thing that they love doing into a job. And not only that, but a job that can turn on a dime and then you wind up broke or struggling or trying desperately to stay popular or whatever else. When I see actors in Hollywood, I don't go, ooh, I wish I could have their life. I go, ooh, God, could you imagine being 70 and trying to talk with an agent to figure out how you can still be, you know, a viable actor in your 70s, especially, and triple that if you're a woman trying to remain, you know, trying to remain in the business past the age of 35. So... Yeah.
Why did you come to YouTube?
Because it seemed like fun. And it still is fun for me, you know? And that's the whole point. It's fun for me. It's hopefully it's fun for my audience. I don't take anything seriously. I ignore every time someone comes on and says, hey, you can increase the number of views by doing this. I'm like, fuck you. I don't want to play any. I'm not jumping through any of your fucking hoops. I'm not
actually,
here to become
famous.
Actually,
what's funny is, Jason, you're doing all of the things that are supposed to increase viewership and subscriber base.
But I don't. What do you mean?
Yes, you do. I have looked through too many websites for this particular information. What do I have to do to get more views on YouTube? And it says, one, to beat the algorithm, you have to upload at least once a week. You do that.
Yeah, that's true. I upload once a week.
You have to do something creative, obviously, which you do.
Okay.
You have to have good thumbnails, which you do. Okay. You have to have friends who are willing to give you shout outs, which you have.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make something that is funny. A lot of the time, that's what they want. And you're pretty much doing all of those things, and yet for some reason, it's not working for you. Show me the abs, man.
Huh?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
show me the abs.
My end goal is not to have 1 million subscribers and 5 million views.
You can't tell me that you wouldn't be happy if something like that happened. If one of your videos hit and then you pulled in 1 million subscribers and went back, watched everything you ever made, and then you were making $1,000 a week on Patreon.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that bled over to the podcast and they're listening to our podcasts, you know, 5,000 each podcast, you know? I would be happy, awesome.
But I mean I wasn't working towards that goal. It would just be pure happenstance. Here's what I'm not doing to guarantee that I would become more popular. Number one, my JPEGs for my thumbnails would be different. My titling would be different. The content would be different. It would not feature puppets at all.
I hate
to say that. Yeah, it wouldn't feature puppets at all. Unless, of course, it was puppets singing a popular song or, you know, whatever. The titling would turn into 7 weird things you didn't know about X or, you know, so-and-so YouTube star caught doing X, either lying, cheating, or whatever. Talking heads that compile their content directly out of YouTube are the ones that are getting all the views. Gaming channels have morphed into a weird thing called commentary, in which you watch someone playing a video game, but they talk about YouTube shit, or they talk about daily stuff. So it's
but
someone...
I like a lot of talking heads on YouTube, though.
Like who?
Philip DeFranco.
I like a person
I was watching the other day. It just slipped my mind because I'm drinking beer. I know a lot of people hate this, and you probably do too, but I like Lacey Green.
Mm.
And I'm talking about big names, the ones over 1 million subscribers. I like Tyler Oakley. I like watching his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a cute Twinkie. I'd like to fuck his asshole.
Oh my God.
He'll never listen to this. Probably just say thank you and then whatever.
Mm.
Who's another talking head that talks about YouTube drama? I like watching like Secular Talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's an atheist YouTube talking head, and he's good at what he does. I mean, I don't watch the Young Turks anymore.
You don't?
No, I don't find them interesting anymore. It's I don't know. It's skewed in a way that I can't really pay attention anymore.
Mm.
I think there are a lot of creative people on YouTube that have that, you know, subscriber base that still make really good content.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't.
Where were we going with this? I forgot.
I don't remember.
You want to start a show?
No.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Jason.
I don't. I want to talk about this forever.
I've run out of things to talk about.
Look,
because
but
I forgot.
Dude, no, it's not. You know why? Because YouTube is the reason why we know each other.
Yes, but this is the thing. Since then.
Yeah.
Since then, we have developed a friendship that has, we talk about YouTube, but only as a funny thing that happened this week. Like, oh, I don't want to name names. Never mind.
Come
just
on, name
anybody,
a name. Name somebody. Come on, do it. Name somebody.
I don't know. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, finally you're on the same page as me. It doesn't matter. Yay!
But it's fun to talk about with you off the air.
That's true.
I don't want that to become what we do on this podcast.
No, I'm just saying this is the one-off. This is the one-off where we actually talk about it. Because we do have crossover fans. We do. We have fans that are fans of our shows that, that listen to the podcast. Not everybody. I would have to say, actually, at this point, the majority aren't.
It is at this point I turn off podcast and not listen.
I smash it to ground and pee on it.
I can't stand YouTube is just people arguing about social justice.
Why
and
did
feminism.
I waste
I
so much
stand.
Of my precious moisture?
And Danny of 5 beating his kids and then making money from YouTube off of it.
Did you hear about the dude that's facing 30 years in prison for getting underage girls to twerk and show them their butt?
I did. I saw it on Philip DeFranco. He brought to my attention.
I love Philip.
Philly D. He does it right.
He only asked me to show my tits once on a private chat.
Oh my God! Yeah. So that person was a gaming channel.
Wait, I just made that up. What are you talking about? What?
No, you didn't make that up. There was a guy who was asking underage girls to undress for him.
Oh my God in heaven.
You think I'm lying? Oh, you thought I was making that up?
Was making a joke.
You lie. You lie. You did not know that this past week a famous
YouTuber... I have no idea. I don't watch those channels.
Holy shit. No, he's... Well, I don't know if he's facing 30 years, but he's a famous,
the 30 years guy? The 30 years guy, I don't know if he does a gaming channel or if he's... I think he's a singer or something like that.
Yeah, and he was asking 14-year-old girls to
show
to
their
undress
their
and then saying, oh, I didn't know they were 14. And
he's
like,
not
nah,
even saying that. According to the news story that I wrote, a legit news story.
Oh, he was admitting credibly that he did.
He actually admitted it to the HSI. And it's kind of like, well, I hope you enjoy prison, buddy.
What's the HSI?
Homeland Security, they were actually watching him because...
Why would Homeland Security...
Because certain NSA? Crimes on the internet are considered national... For example, okay, let's do it this way. Let's say you commit fraud, and you commit fraud in your hometown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal, right? I mean, it's still a big deal, but you committed fraud.
Oh, I see, but if you're asking somebody
But if you're
from
doing
France...
it on the fucking internet, and you do it from somebody from France, or someone from Canada, or someone 5 states over, the crime becomes considerably different. And that's the thing. I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about how the internet is kind of growing up a little bit, but it's got a long, 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 long way to go. And I don't think lawmakers they've fully realized, you know, lots of people like, oh, the internet's the old west. This podcast exists because of that. We basically say whatever we want on this show.
Yeah.
Right? We don't edit ourselves. We try to hold ourselves to a certain standard. We try to hold ourselves to a certain morality that both of us share. We disagree about shit. We agree mostly about shit. But we exist because of the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, the freedoms that we enjoy are also being enjoyed by other people who don't necessarily think about the stuff they talk about, who they say it to, and they don't understand the difference between me and you talking about stuff and understanding that when we say, you know, when we're saying things like you
Ooh,
know
speaking
right.
of which did Uh-oh. You recently did you hear about this recent judgment passed down on the girlfriend who essentially told her boyfriend to kill herself?
I had heard something about it, but let me guess. It happened on, what, Facebook, Skype, IM
no, no,
chat?
No, no, no. They were texting each other.
They were texting each other.
So and she is going to jail for manslaughter, I believe.
Good.
They might try to appeal. And the question entirely was, if you tell somebody to do it and you know they are actually, like, in a car that is pouring exhaust into a closed garage, and you say, get back in the car.
Yeah, that's murder.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry,
it's manslaughter because the thing is, there is a credible idea that she did not know he was actually doing it. She wasn't there. He could have just been telling her this. It'd be like, you remember when you said to me, oh, you should have told the police that you thought your friends were kidding about about robbing the house.
I have
remember?
A story. I have
wait,
this
wait,
reminds
wait, wait,
me,
wait.
I have a story.
Wait, wait, wait. Okay, but do you remember when you said that?
Yeah.
I could have credibly denied it, except for the fact that I drove by the house several times and knew that and saw police officers outside.
Yeah.
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 But
okay,
she has plausible deniability because she was not there. He was threatening apparently apparently quite a few times, and she was just like, finally, like, fuck it, do it, I don't care.
Yeah, she got sick of it, which is something you should never say.
Yeah, no, it is a horrifying thing to say to people, and I have to tell you, when I was younger, I did say that to a friend.
Oh, really? Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Because you were just sick of it? You were just like, bruh.
Well, not to Aiden, if that's what everyone is wondering.
No, I don't think anyone's wondering that. Okay, no, let me explain this.
I have said it to people who are alive presently.
And this is going to be good for you, too, to denote the warning signs of a manipulator, because you have a young daughter. Mm-hmm. My daughter was involved before, because we said you can only date at a certain age, right? Mm-hmm. And we felt that she was too young at a particular age to be dating, but she decided that there was this one kid who she was going to, they were going to be online boyfriend, girlfriend, something like that. And I didn't like this kid at all, but they were always, you know, texting, da-da-da. And I can't remember how we found out, but we found out that he was trying to get her to send her nudes and crap like that, right?
Yeah, it's a crime for young people now, too.
Yeah, I understand. But at the time, we were like, well, how does that make you feel? And just, it's not good. And I said, well, we've already told you we don't want you having this kind of relationship at this age, and this is inappropriate, so we want you to tell this kid. And this kid started the manipulation bucket.
Your parents don't understand.
Nope, because he was the Eddie Haskell. Because here's one of the things I did.
I don't know what that means.
And I am not, okay.
I know who that is, but I don't understand.
Eddie Haskell was the creepy kid who is Wally's best friend on Leave It to Beaver, but whenever a parent was around, he was their kiss ass. Oh, you're absolutely right. No, oh, what a wonderful idea you're having. But as soon as they were gone, he was like,
is your daughter in the house? Just curious.
Yeah, somewhere. Anyway, so what happened was I got a hold of her phone and I started a text conversation with this kid, right? Pretending to be her. I'm not proud of it, but I'm a father. That's what fathers do.
I did that once with my son's phone.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I got a story right after you're done. I guess this is going to be the long podcast where we never read a story.
Well, what happened was it all kind of... So he when he found out it was me, he was all like, oh, well I'm being totally respectful. I'm like, look, this is what we know what you did. This is going to stop. But he wouldn't let up, and he was doing it at school, and he was like constantly going, and then he started pulling out this crap. Oh, without you, I just feel like I'm going to hurt myself, right? That kind of manipulation. And so she told me, and she's like really worried because it was working on her. And I said, listen, if that's really true, then I only have one thing that I can do. I need you to contact him, and I need you to find out if he's actually feeling this way. And she says, okay. So she went, she contacted him, and he wrote back, yeah, I'm totally feeling this way. And I said, okay, will you please let him know that I'm calling the police where he lives, and I'm concerned for his well-being, and I'm going to have someone sent out to him. And she's like, really? And I said, yeah, because here's the thing. I'm an adult. You have just told me about a kid who's threatening to harm themselves. As a responsible adult, I have a responsibility to make sure that he doesn't, and to make sure that everything is okay with him. And she's like, oh, okay. And so I did it. That's exactly what I did. I knew where he lived. I knew what his phone number was. And I said, I don't know what's going on with this, but he's said this several times. I need someone to go out there, and I need someone to check on him and make sure he's okay. We never heard from him again. We knew he was fine because he was showing up at the school or whatever else. But to me, it was kind of this situation. If he's lying to manipulate, to emotionally blackmail my daughter, then he's going to find out what that means in the adult world. And what that means in the adult world is I have to take you seriously. Oh. And if I'm taking you seriously, that means you have to deal with...
You're a step ahead of me.
You have to deal with the consequences of if you're lying, this is the consequences. You have people showing up at your house asking you if you're okay. You have people talking to your parents, finding out if you're okay. You have people talking about your business to your parents to find out if you're okay. So if you're ever going to use this again, remember, this is the possibility. Possible way that this can play out.
Now, I think I did tell you that my son would threaten that whenever he was in trouble so that he didn't get arrested, and then when he finally did, he shit his pants and stopped doing it.
Right, exactly.
But I think it's okay because he never listens to this, and we're on this path. But there was a time where my ex was living in it doesn't matter, anyway.
I
dropped off the kids at the house after they had slept over, and all of a sudden a police car pulls in. And I go, I go, officer, are you headed to that apartment right there? It's a second floor apartment. And he goes, yeah, I am. And I go, that's where my kids live. Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. And he says, everything's fine. I just need to talk to the woman who lives there along with, you know, and he explained, and he didn't explain what it was that was going on. Mm-hmm. And he says, just please go. I don't want to have to explain this to 10 people. Your ex can explain it after. And I'm like, okay, fine. As long as everything's okay.
Yeah.
So I text her and ask what happened. Mm-hmm. And apparently my son was being accused of rape.
Oh boy.
Now, I know 100% for a fact that he didn't do it. Just so everybody knows, I'm going to spoil that just so we can set that precedent.
Yeah, so people aren't going to be sitting here going, what? Right, yeah. Good job.
And I texted my ex, and she explained to me that this girl that he had been kind of dating on and off was accusing him of raping her. And that the father had sent the police over to talk about what they can do, because she just wanted him arrested as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out from her that apparently they had been talking over Facebook, and she was saying, if you don't want to date me, the first thing I'm going to do is tell people that you're raping me.
Okay, you know what? I've seen him. Hmm? Is he really that much of a catch? I mean...
My son?
Yes!
Well, yeah, no, my son is awkwardly handsome.
Okay.
He's got curly hair, and he's got wide-set kind of almond eyes and a deep brow, and he talks a lot of shit to get people to like him, and he says things that aren't true, and you know, he's a manipulator. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing. She said that she was explaining what happened, and I said, "Oh God, what if my son actually did something wrong?" You know, at first I'm thinking as a parent, I've done something wrong, then I haven't told him about these things. And I was like, "No, I did tell him about consent and all of these things and understanding what it means. And you're too young.
Yeah, you know,
having sex happens when you're young, but you know, it's not something where you should have to go through a process of learning something that horribly and that horrifically or whatever."
Yeah.
You know, and then later I was at home, or maybe a few days later, he hadn't been arrested. He hadn't been brought in for questioning or anything like that. He wasn't, you know, and I realized I can log into his Facebook because I'm the person that made it and the password.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I did and started looking through the messages, and the messages were, "Hey, kid, sex was great last night. Can't believe that happened." And then him saying, "That was sex?" And then her saying, "Yes, when you touch my boobs, it's sex.
Whoa.
I really liked it, and it was fun. It made me feel good, and the making out was really good, too." And he said, "That's not what sex is," or something like that. And, you know, whatever. They want to differentiate because they're young, but whatever. And she was obviously very, very much saying that she consented to this and that she liked it.
Yeah.
So the conversation continued back and forth until he was like, "Look, I'm not ready to have sex." And at that moment, when I read it, I actually stood up from the chair and went, "Yes!" Like, my son, made a right decision. He said something to the effect of, "My mom got pregnant when she was 16 with me,
mm-hmm.
and her life has been hell." And I couldn't stop saying yes, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "If that's all you want, then I don't think we should do this." And she said, "Well, guess what? You put your hand in my pants, and I don't think I liked it," to something to that effect.
What? Okay.
"And I was told that if I ever don't like anything, it's considered rape."
What? I'll Who tell told my her father that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's neither here nor there. I kept reading, and he was essentially like, "You can't do that to me. I'm already in trouble because of X, Y, and Z, and I haven't done anything to you. I didn't do anything to you, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And so she kept falsely accusing him of this thing that he hadn't done, and then she went and told her father, which was the night that happened.
Right.
That the cop came by.
Mm-hmm.
And I printed out an entire transcript from the Facebook, which apparently is legal, is a, considered a legal document.
It is.
And I gave it to Dana, and she read it all, and then she had the cops come over. She gave it to them, and they read it, and then they proceeded to go over to the other house. And I don't know what happened there, but my understanding is my son and this girl will never talk again.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a horrifying thing to hear that at the age of 14, you know, some young people are taught that if they don't get what they want, they can just accuse the other person of doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great thing thing to know that if need be, police officers are on the side of young men, mm-hmm. if they actually didn't do anything wrong, which
right.
he didn't.
Right.
And that was the part of it that I was really happy about in general, was the fact that they looked at it and said, okay, this is evidence. Can, you know, mm-hmm. we, you know, this is, and they brought it to her and she sobbingly confessed that she was lying. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as I understand. But
well, hopefully she learned, you know, hopefully she learned something from it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like some things, kids make stupid
Well, I wanted my son to learn something too.
What did he learn?
Which, well, he probably learned, hey, maybe messing around ain't a good idea to any extent at this point.
Well, it also indicates who. Okay, here's a whole bit of advice. Don't put your dick in crazy. Advice I wish I had followed on occasion when I was younger, but I didn't. I didn't. And I, you know, you wind up to varying degrees, but there's crazy, and then there's, oh boy, crazy trouble. You know what yeah. I mean? And it can be anyone. It's not just heterosexual. It's not just cisgender stuff. I mean, I think this runs rampant no matter what your orientation is.
Well, I mean,
or...
and with the way that he was at the time, it could have just as easily been him saying the same thing about her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just wasn't. The roles were reversed, and I was just terrified that my son had done something wrong that was much farther than any of the other things that I've ever described.
Right, right.
I hadn't even considered that she was lying until I read it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
I don't know if that makes me a bad parent or not, but
brother, in what sense? I don't.
Well,
see
because
it
I didn't.
That.
It didn't occur to me that she could be lying. That my son was telling the truth.
Oh, so you just had the. Well, I think that's instinctive. You've seen parents who stand by kids who are obviously. Very.
Yeah, I've seen my own ex-wife do it, and my son had done a lot of horrible things, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but...
I mean, it's just, you don't want... Number one, it's partially, you don't want to believe that, you know, your own children are capable of doing something like that. You know, the world is replete with parents who've had their hearts broken by a child who turned out to be absolute scum, right? What I understand is harder is, for example, Bernie Madoff's kid.
Yeah.
Killed himself.
Did he? I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah. And a lot of people are saying he just couldn't live with the guilt. And from what I understand is that sometimes it can be harder for children.
Did he did he assist in the...
No, no. He was kind of left with the... Because he didn't go to jail. He was completely... Only Bernie was the only one that went to jail. And he was kind of left with this kind of aftermath of shame, partially. And also because, I mean, let's face facts. If you found out, how badly would it fuck with your life if you found out that your dad was doing something... Has been doing something your
like
whole life.
Coke.
No, something worse than that. Something that you would not be able to, you know, picture in your... You don't have to say it out loud, but picture in your head.
No, no, I can picture... Yeah, no, I can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's say you're just sitting there and you're like... Duh, duh, and then you find this out and it's like irrecontrovertible. There is no way that it can be anything but what has been presented to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you... you know, how do you think you would react to that?
I don't think that I would abandon him, but I would definitely move away from this town.
Would you? Do you think?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I think for some kids, the realization that their parents aren't who they thought they were can be more difficult to take than a parent having to come to terms with their child not being who they thought they were. It's more difficult because your imprint. A lot of children, they have a great deal of respect for.
Well,
their
parents. My kids only recently found out that I'm gay.
Well, yeah, but that's different. Okay, that is not.
No, but what I'm saying is that is. It's not a bad thing, but it is along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is not a bad thing. You're absolutely right.
Did I ever tell you the story of when I came out to Little Miss?
No.
No?
No.
Well, so...
I thought, the last time we talked about it, I think you were still... I don't know if you had...
Oh, no, this was a year ago.
Was it?
More than a year ago.
Yeah, you've been lax, buddy.
So, and still... Well, this is the thing.
Okay.
If everyone wants to go back and listen to It's All Happening in Providence, that's, I don't know, podcast number 90 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hadn't decided to date anyone until she was nine
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
And then I told my ex, hey, I'm gonna start dating, and she was like, oh good, I was thinking you were never gonna be with anyone and all that stuff. And
aww.
She's being supportive, and then all of a sudden I have James in my life, and mm-hmm. she starts talking to me. She says, well, listen, I don't want, I mean, J- James, he's so excited and happy at this point. He starts posting a whole bunch of pictures of us together and a lot of things. And it's just all happy rainbows, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
And but the thing is, her cousins are on Facebook and can see my Facebook when I get tagged in a photo with a dude, mm-hmm, right? So she says to me, she texts me, and she says something like, "You have to tell her." And I think that she hadn't met James at this point, but she said, "You have to tell her because I don't want her to hear it from her stupid cousins, because she hates her sister's kids. She loves them, but she hates them." She says, "All right, it's so she's sleeping over, and you need to kind of just tell her. Just make it really quick and short."
You need to breach the subject.
She said quick and short, but I'm me, so there is no quick and short, and I'm talking to my white-haired, like blue crystalline-eyed baby about the fact that I am completely and totally gay.
Yeah.
And it is, I'm saying, I think this is probably one of the hardest moments in my life. So she comes over, and I have her, and she's sitting in my lap, and we're watching YouTube videos, and I turn them off, and I say, "Sweetheart, I really need to talk to you about something." Mm-hmm. And I sit her on my lap, and for a long moment, I say, I. Mm-hmm. And then I say, "Sweetheart, I'm gay. Do you know what that means?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "I think I do. It's like when one boy likes another boy."
Yeah.
And then I explained, and I said, "Well, yes, boys like boys." Boys like boys.
Boys like boys.
And I said, "But I like men. I always have, all my life." And she just kind of looked at me funny, but she just kind of went with it. And I'm like, "I've known this my whole life, and I don't know how you're... I know that you're probably... the wheels are turning right now, and you're not understanding, considering I was married to your mom, and
yeah,
I have you, and all of that kind of stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I had a good reason to hide at the time, because I believed that God would send me to hell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she looked at me, and she shook her head and kind of scrunched her nose, and she was like, "No," because I think my daughter's already a burgeoning skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
She says church is boring and she doesn't like it at all, which is good. Anyway, so I keep talking, and I'm like, my reasoning was that if I had been able to be with her mother... I didn't talk to her about sex, but I just said, if I could be with her mother, then it couldn't mean that I was gay, but it never went away.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much I tried, it never went away. And it wasn't just the idea of religion that kept me from coming out of the closet. A lot of people around the world hate us.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in just our own country hate us, and they don't like us. They think that we're bad people who are doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to her the example of Alan Turing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Alan Turing, and I talked to her about what a great mathematician he was and how he was autistic, but he was also gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that man saved... he pretty much saved the world.
Right.
At a certain point during the war, he was able to use mathematical computations with a computer that he invented to find out messages that Hitler was sending back and forth to their boats. That's how amazing he was. Even after the war, he was sent to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started to cry.
Yeah.
Because she thought that
you were going to be going to jail. Yeah, I knew. I heard that coming.
And I said, "No, honey."
As you started saying that, I was like, "Uh-oh."
Thankfully, in Massachusetts and every state in the union, I cannot be sent to jail for being gay. Mm-hmm. I can't. It's a law.
No. Yeah.
And she was just like, "Okay, can I go back to playing video games now?
No more."
No more. No more emotions. No more feelings.
No
I'm
more
all
daddy.
Set.
You're going to start crying. And wait a minute. Were you crying? You were crying.
She cried for Alan Turing.
I asked if you did. Did you?
No.
Okay.
No, but I was filled with anxiety, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's why I'm surprised you didn't.
But I didn't tell her about James until about a week later.
Okay.
He came over to the house, he met her, and I was like, "This is my friend." And then a week later, she was just kind of standing in the bathroom while I was brushing her hair, and she said, "Is James your boyfriend?"
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, you she's not, she's definitely not stupid. And I said, "Yes, he's my boyfriend." And she goes, "Okay."
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was thinking about all the hair goodies she could get from him, so whatever.
See, I don't know if I told this on the air, but my mom came out to me when I was, what, 8, I think? Mm. Around the same age.
That's hot. Sorry.
You're really gross, dude. But she sat me and my brother down, and she was like, okay, something I need to talk to you about this girl, this woman that, you know, she was dating at the time, and who she wound up living with us until I moved out of the house, so for 10 years, wow. 11 years, yeah. But I remember this very distinctly. I said to her before she could say anything, I know, Mom, you're gay.
Oh.
not dismissively like that, but like letting her know, we kind of already figured it out. You've been going out with a bunch of girls. Our aunt likes girls. You do nothing but spend time with girls. It's not a big mystery, you know? But then she corrected and she said, no, I'm bi. And I was like, oh, well, that's something new that I haven't... That
hey, you know what they say, bi now, never, gay later.
That's not been covered on the playground, what that is, but okay. And then she bravely explained what that was. But, you know, after 5 years where she's with the same woman, I pretty much figured, okay, yeah, that she's not. She's not, right? She's not. She yeah. isn't. And I move out, and then
every once in a while they need the D.
She breaks up with the woman that she's been seeing for this whole time, the woman that was living with us. And then she moves to another state, and I'm just sitting there, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm getting married. And I'm like, oh really, who? And she's like, this guy. And I'm like, what? She's like, I'm marrying a guy. And I'm like, you're marrying a what? You're not. No, because that's not. She's like, I told you I was bi. And I was like, I was 8 when you said that. And then you had an 11-year relationship with a woman. That's impossible. It was like I was going through one of those reverse TV movies. You know how in the other way the TV movie goes? You have the straight parent coming out to the kids and saying, I'm actually gay, and then they have to adjust to that. This was the reverse, in which I was like, no, but see, that's not how this works at all, because I had a gay parent, and now
you
I
like
gotta...
to smush the two vaginas together.
That's right.
Smush maybe the scissors. You have scissors.
I'm actually scissoring on camera.
Scissor me.
But it was kind of like, it was that ridiculous. It was that kind of ridiculous bullshit. And so she was like, no, I mean, this is just the way, this is, you know. And, you know, I had to accept it. I didn't, I don't think I ever fully accepted it, because I had been raised a certain way. And I had that kind of thing like, no, my mom's gay and that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. This is just a phase. She'll get over it. And you'll see, she'll be a lesbian again. She will be a lesbian. She will. She will. But I recognize, so that's why when I see kids going through that, you know, kids going through that the other way with a gay parent, you know, I don't necessarily, I can feel for them, because I kind of go through it. And it's like, it's not about whether the person's gay or not. It's about what you deem what is normal, right? It's like, if your parent was purple, and you said, okay, my parent's purple.
There are actually people who have a skin condition where their skin is purple.
Fine, whatever. But let's say they're purple, and you grew up and they're purple. And
I've drank enough to get into funny mode, okay?
Great. And you're just like, okay, yeah, I've got a purple parent. I love my purple parent, and that's all there is to it. And then, you know, 10 to 20 years later, they come up and they go, oh, by the way, and they wipe all the purple paint off, and they're pink. And you're like, what the fuck? You were purple just a second ago. Why are you pink now? Same person, just, you know, now you know a little bit more.
You're not pink. I'm pink.
Human beings don't adjust to change terribly well, and it goes double for when it's change, especially involving a parent, especially when it involves someone that has raised you, and you're kind of like, wait, this fucks with me because you raised me and you taught me everything, and you have to be a certain way because parents have to be like a bedrock. At least, and I'm not saying that is true. I'm saying that's kind of like what happens. You know, you depend on your parents being a certain way. It's why divorce fucks with kids so hard.
Like, oh, you guys are in the house, and then they're not in the house anymore.
And now I only see you at certain times, and I'm not supposed.
Well, I live pretty close to my daughter, so.
Well, yeah, I know.
I saw her this afternoon. I watched her watch Jacksepticeye, that YouTuber who does video games. Yes, I'm saying it dismissively. You know what's funny? Whenever I watch the popular YouTubers with her,
yeah,
I always say to my, I always ask her, how many views does this video have? And she goes, oh, hold on. She pauses it. And it's like, oh, 10 million views. And I'm like, yep, for doing absolutely nothing.
For doing nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
For being popular with kids.
And she knows that I make YouTube videos. And there was one time I said, well, I mean, she was like, oh, can I watch one of your videos? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, honey. They're kind of, heady
like,
and they're a little depressing sometimes. And she goes, I don't care. So she, and I said, okay, pick one and I'll tell you whether or not it's okay. And I decided to let her watch Sunshine. Jason knows, because this is it's a video where I essentially entail about how when I was a child, I learned that the sun was going to explode at some point, but my mind refused to let it go. I actually thought that it was going to happen any time.
Any second, right.
Yeah. And
not
and
billions I, of years from now.
And I was in the beginning, I was explaining that when I die, nothing will happen. I will probably just go into the ground and I won't think, know, wish, believe, or feel anything. Mm-hmm. And she started listening to that and she started crying. And I was like, okay, time out, done. No, not listening. No, you don't have to. Just the idea of her daddy dying was kind
of... The majority of children can only be exposed to certain ideas at certain points in their development. You know, and that's probably because I remember when I was exposed to that information when I was a kid, and I was a little freaked out about it.
The sun dying or your parents dying?
The eventual death of the sun.
Yeah.
Right. And I was okay with that. If someone had come up to me and said, well, that's nothing. Let me talk to you about the eventual heat death of the universe. Then I would probably freak out big time. Because it's one thing to go, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, our Earth is probably going to wind up going eventually. And you know, that makes sense, right? And and that's not a big deal. But when then someone goes, oh, yeah, but it's not just the Earth. It's everything.
It's the fact that I do have to mention, you're going to hate it, but King Crocoduck debated Kent Hovind this past week.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was fantastic. Everybody should go watch it, because Kent Hovind does not understand the difference between a vector quantity and a scalar quantity. He was trying to say that the speed of light was different back when the universe was created. And King Crocoduck was trying to explain that if that were true, we would not have a universe that we live in. The speed of light is a thing that is a constant that would pretty much make it so that the universe didn't exist if it were different. If it were faster or slower, you have a universe that doesn't have any stars in it. You have a universe that doesn't have any gases in it.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to explain that there are stars that are so far away from us at this point that they've reached the light horizon. They can no longer send light to us that actually reaches us.
Right.
And at which point the reason that we've calculated that the universe is 13 or 14 billion years old is specifically because of the ones that we can see.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept trying to explain, oh, it may be older. But either way, the expansion of the universe is what's separating those particular stars that are too far apart, such that the distance between them is increasing faster than the speed of light.
Right.
Not that those things are moving away. Way faster, but that the scalar distance, I'm sorry, the vector distance between them two has increased so exponentially that light cannot cross it.
Did he really expect this guy to understand that?
That's where he went with the debate. And I was sitting there and I was going, you know, eventually it's going to come to a point where all stars are that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to burn out and they are going to die.
Yep.
And then after that, there will be lots of red dwarfs and dark dwarfs. And then after that, black holes will evaporate and then there will be nothing.
Yep. Unless there's something that we just haven't discovered yet, right? Based on what we know now, this is what we see. And that's all we can ever do. Based on what we now know, this is all we can see. There are people who are saying that maybe we're expanding and intruding into other universes or into other realms of reality, and that it's just this big expansion and that we expand into it. We pick up other things. They're saying there's quite a number of things that we can't know for certain. The eventual heat death of the universe is still just the best theory we have based on the information that
I'm still of a mind that thinks that we are interfering with other universes presently. I'm not a physicist, so the physicists can poop on my head if they want, but there are certain parts of the universe.
Someone went, oh boy.
So, Oh, I've always wanted to poop on Addie's head. No, but there are certain parts of the universe where there are cold spots that are infinitely... you can't penetrate them with light. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking that what's happening is that there are other universes expanding into our universe.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I always sit there and think, I'm like, then where does it end? Where does it go?
It doesn't. Maybe it doesn't.
Why is it? And that's where other people come to the conclusion that God. And I'm just like, no, it just is. Why can't it just be? You know what I mean?
Because we are creatures of why. I hate to say this, Addie, but it boils down to
why.
Our...
the why is the is.
It boils down to our nature. The reason why we are the way we are, the reason why we are humans, is that question. Why? If we never asked why, we'd never be where we are now. We don't have the Skype conversation.
I have this thought in my head that we are not the ones that are going to transverse the universe. What's going to happen is something that cataclysmically ends our life on this planet. And then what will happen is bacteria will take over again, and then, you know, other evolved life forms will continue to evolve until they become sentient like us. And
see, you think it's going to be cataclysmic. I don't think it's going to be cataclysmic.
It's just going to be slow, you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be something. But I think we're going to, if we do destroy ourselves, it's going to be by inches. It's not going to be a big, big boom. It's going to be something that is going to gradually...
I've had that idea as well. But what I'm saying is, I think that it will be another... I mean, this planet has got about a 5 billion year shelf life before the sun expands and gets too close to us and all that shit.
Yeah.
So we know that the Earth has been here for 4.5 billion years. And in that time, many species have lived and died and screamed to their deaths after being attacked by humans and shit and it could start all over again. And what bothers me even more is the thought that has that happened before and we just don't know about it.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
That there was a species on the planet that you know, all fossils have been obliterated. I know that that's probably impossible, but we'll be digging through the ground one day and find a species of of animal that was capable of doing math and that they also had built cities, but the Earth was fried so badly that nothing of their existence was left, and we just don't know about it, you know. But
well, remember,
there's no evidence of it, but you know.
No, there's no evidence of it, but then again, we are also making the assumption that it will be intelligences like us, and they're starting to take a look at it at group intelligences like
bacteria.
You know, not even that. Ants accomplish amazing things, but not a single ant alone has a cognitive brain power. But when they work collectively as an individual organism, they can do amazing things. Absolutely amazing things. Mm. And they're doing it as a single organism, but it's comprised of individuals. What are we if not just single cells all working collectively to create a single organism, right?
Yeah, and the idea that we are, I mean, I know that it's, I don't want it to delve into a mystic type of thing, but the idea that we're not collectively together is kind of, I think it's false.
Yeah, how do you mean?
Meaning that we as humans are a planet-wide phenomenon.
At this point, yeah.
Yes, and we are collectively together here on Earth, and we're you know, I don't know how to say it. We're separated, but we're together. I don't know how to explain it.
We're at heart social creatures.
Yeah.
Okay. We depend on social interactions. You know, people say, oh, well, we'd be better off. You know, some people, they want to be alone, but in truth, they just want to be left alone, I think. I don't think they want to necessarily feel like they are completely cut off. I've known some people who are like, I want to be away from people. I'm going to go live out in the middle of nowhere. Those people usually have more than a couple of screws loose, you know? And I'm not saying that it's necessarily bad. Maybe it is best for them if they separate themselves from the rest of, you know, humanity or whatever. But as a general rule, we are social creatures. We desperately need social interaction in order to be healthy, you know, in order for us to be mentally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Most psychiatrists will agree that the cruelest thing that you can do to any prisoner is solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the jail that they're in is awful beyond compare, they will beg to be put back into the general prison population.
I am begging for a bully. Fuck me, please.
What?
begging for a bully. Fuck
yeah, exactly. Because they'd rather do that. They'd rather go out and face that. But at least that's human interaction. That's human contact. You know, as compared to
beer number 5. Well, Jason hasn't seen the likes of this for quite a long time.
No, I haven't. Oh, this takes me back.
I'm thinking about growing marijuana.
What?
It's not for me because I can't fucking do that shit. But yeah, just to make a little extra cash, and it's Massachusetts, so I can. I got myself three sativa seeds right here.
Oh my god.
That somebody gave me. I haven't planted them yet. I don't know. I'm just thinking it's legal, no one can say anything, but I want to cultivate a plant.
Well, if that's weird, because I'm putting together, I'm getting my garden ready for
can you
next
grow
year.
Pot out there?
Grow, I think yes, but I'm not sure. I'm not trying to grow pot. I'm trying to grow vegetables because I'm not some weird hippie dude.
No, but I'm not a hippie, and I can't smoke weed. You know that.
Whatever,
dude,
hippie.
The minute that happens, the second I'm like, hey, Jason, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna smoke a joint on the fucking podcast, and you're gonna watch me go insane.
Please, no. Can we? Please?
No, I would no.
I want to hear you just go completely bonkers.
I know what
on
you would
show.
Do. You'd be like, oh, hey, is that a person behind you?
I'd start topping my baby. Are you okay with that?
And I'd be like, why are you fucking with me, you asshole? Fucking with me.
You leave me alone. I'm Hubert.
I have to piss so bad. I'll be back in 1 minute.
All right, you go.
Okay. I have to pee.
Go pee, hurry up. Do you think he's realized that we have not even done the opening to the show yet? That we're like at 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I have completely subverted everything. I have got him to talk about everything that he has refused to talk about in previous shows. He's now talked about. We've talked about personal stuff. We've talked about philosophical stuff. We've talked about YouTube. We've talked about everything. And we still haven't even done the opening of the show. So let's see what happens when it comes back. Also, yeah, don't... Guys, if you're going to leave comments on this, don't encourage him to grow pot, please. I don't even know if he can in Massachusetts. It gets too cold. And I'm not growing pot either. I'm gonna grow I think I'm gonna grow some squash. I'm gonna try to get some pumpkins in, so for a winter harvest. I'm gonna try to grow an avocado tree if I can, some tomatoes and some carrots.
What's
and
he saying?
A puppy bush.
Oh shit! No, I wanna cultivate a plant, and I wanna watch little buds come out, and then dry them up and sell them. And I don't
heroin.
Have to sell them on the street. You know what I can do? I can walk right up to a traffic cop with a friend and be like, "Here's a pot deal. There's nothing you can do, and I just made myself $20."
Promise you do it in that voice, and you're singing. I mean, put a big pimp hat on.
You know what's funny though? That's actually the voice that I used to use around my friend Dave from Dave and Q-Bert.
Oh really?
Yeah. Cheeseburgers with Dave and Q-Bert, episode number 4. Now,
all right, you know what? We really need to start the show.
Are you kidding me? All right, fine. Go ahead.
All right, ready? Yep. In 3, 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let Me Finish Two Men, One Story, 1 Million Interruptions. I am Jason Harding.
And I am Atticus Blake.
On this show, we take... Atticus has 30 minutes to tell a story, and I have 30 minutes to prevent him from doing so. If at any time you hear this sound,
whee,
that means that Atticus has run out of time and I have won. However, if you don't hear that sound, that means he has won. Atticus, do you have a story to tell the audience this week?
I do.
Well, yay! Is it your story, a listener's story, someone else's story?
It's my story.
All right, cool. All right, we'll get Jeff in here. Let's ring the bell.
Oh, hey.
Hey, what's sorry, Jeff. On? I know we did like 1 hour and 15 minutes before we
That's
actually
okay.
got
I've
around.
Just been sitting in the back of Addie's mind masturbating, watching.
No. I hope you clean up after yourself. That's not
dude,
cool.
You know what's funny? Actually, I orgasm usually pretty quick, like say 10 or 15 minutes. But then the hard part is squeezing it to the end of my 25-foot-long dick.
Okay, I didn't need that in my head.
And I put it in a bowl and then I drink it because I need protein. All right, hold on. Wait. Badinga.
All right, Eddie, tell us the story.
All right. I'm bringing back Detective Cole.
No! No!
Why not, man?
Because show is over.
The floorboards of not I can come back anytime. Okay, no. I smoked a bunch of pot today, and you guys didn't know it, and the story's over.
Okay, thanks, Addie, for the incredibly short story.
I won.
You
this
win.
Week.
You won this week.
When was
hey
the
guys,
last time I won like a year ago.
I know. Just because Attic has told a story this week doesn't mean that we don't want to get your stories. Please go to the Let Me Listen podcast website. Go to the contact page and leave them for us there. We promise we will read them. This was a very special show between Addy and I, as I explained while he was peeing. We basically did everything that we've never given ourselves a chance to do on this show. If you think about it, Addy.
Talk
we got
like
to get,
dudes.
Yeah, talk like dudes. And also, guys, this show was the closest that you guys have heard of us just shooting the shit like we normally do.
Yeah, he'll. Like, you know what? We talk for quite a while before the show, and then after
yeah.
it's over, we talk yeah. for a long time sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time where we've ever actually like talked back and forth the way we normally talk without putting on any personas. Because, you know, when that recording light's on, we've got to perform. I'm not saying that we're fake when we're doing the show. We're not. We're just, it's just a little bit more heightened, right, Addy?
Would yes, you say it that? Is. No, you're more heightened. I'm fine.
Whatever. He's saying I'm fake. That's anyway.
OG Kush.
Anyway, now's the time that we usually read a review from iTunes, and no one did it, so we don't have to do that part, right, Addy?
Please, leave a written review.
On iTunes, it really helps the show out. We really love getting them. And I would like to thank everyone that's been listening to the show that bumped our listens through the roof over the last couple of weeks. Thank you guys for listening in. I don't know what platform we suddenly appeared on, but we've had a huge bump in the number of listens. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the show. And I think that's it.
Yeah,
for Let Me Finish, this is Jason Harding. Thanks, everybody.
Detective Cole might be making a comeback.
Detective Cole needs to stay as far the fuck away from me as possible.
Oh, yeah, and then you're going to bring back Pooh Bear, too.
Oh, bother, I'm going to have to kill you now.
No, if you recall, it was me who killed you.
You're going to find out what a Colombian bow tie is like.
You already did that and I came back to life. I am the body of Jeff. You know.
No, the
that,
last
right?
time I gave you a Colombian necktie. A Colombian bow tie is where I give you a necktie and then I fuck the hole.
You're not
I'm going
nearly
hog.
As gross as me, man. We live in an infinite universe that will end in nothingness. And what we should do is kill ourselves in order to make sure we don't hurt anyone throughout the rest of our lives.
Wait, I thought you said you were worse than me. That's just boring bullshit that I can hear from any stoned freshman in college.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to send you into a black hole until it ends.
Oh, that sounds kinky. Let's go now.
All right, fine. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. The Let Me Finish podcast is a Let Me Listen podcast production with Atticus Blake and Jason Harding, with music by Kevin MacLeod. Produced by Jason Harding. You can find more Let Me Listen podcasts at our website at www.letmelistenpodcasts.com. You can also find us on SoundCloud, Facebook, and iTunes. Please like and leave a review. And thank you for listening.